Welcome. You're listening to the Leadership Intensive Training Podcast. Every week, we'll equip you with all the tools you'll need to become a strong leader within your campus ministry. We look forward to seeing you grow and making disciples here at Yale.
Hey guys, it's Jenna. Welcome to this week's Leadership Intensive Training Podcast on Evangelism. I remember when I went on a missions trip to Lima, Peru, my junior year of high school. We did many things that week, including putting on vacation Bible school for kids in the church, painting a new school, visiting schools, putting on skits for the students, and participating in a parade that the church we partnered with put on. But the most challenging part of the trip for me was when we were sent into the city in smaller groups in hopes of meeting people and having conversations with them about God. Now, when you're in a new country where the language is a barrier and you don't know anyone, talking to a complete stranger about your faith and about the gospel seems like a, I got nothing to lose situation. But I found it nerve-wracking to do so. It was much easier to paint a school or put on a skit for kids than share my faith. Yes, I knew I would never see these people again, and I didn't have to care what they would tell others about me, as I was not part of the community, but I still felt like a daunting task that I wasn't prepared or equipped to do. Take these feelings I had and then apply them back home where people know who I am, have personal relationships with me, and I'm sticking around to know what they might say or think about me. How do I start these conversations? What if they don't agree with me? What if they ask a question that I don't know the answer to? If I'm being completely honest, some of these fears and doubts still creep into my mind even now. It is much easier to serve at church, serve at TNL, be on the worship team, or help with setup and teardown, than to be open and vulnerable with someone about my faith who may not agree or believe what I believe. I often let myself think that evangelism is something you do on a missions trip, but in reality, this is a lie I can tell myself to get out of doing the last thing that Jesus commanded us, his disciples, to do before he left earth. So if I'm to live as a disciple of Christ, I have a responsibility to share my faith and to share the gospel, the good news of Jesus, with everyone around me, no matter what it may cost. I hope that some of the tools that we learned today will help make these doubts, fears, and questions become less when it comes to evangelism. We are going to frame this conversation with four questions to answer about evangelism. Why, who, what, and when? Why make disciples? Who to reach? What to say? And when to say it or when to begin. The first question we are going to answer is why. Why make disciples? In Matthew 28:18-20, it says, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" I alluded to this before, but this was the last thing Jesus said to the disciples before ascending into heaven. Jesus is speaking, commanding us, his disciples, to go and make disciples. So why make disciples? It's because it is part of our identity. 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 21 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed us the message of reconciliation. We are, therefore, Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." In verse 17, it says that those in Christ have been made brand new. Our identity changes when we accept Christ as Savior. We no longer are our old selves, but have been made new, a new creation. Verse 20 says that we are now ambassadors for Jesus, which means that we're supposed to tell others about Christ. The word ambassador means a person who acts as a representative or promoter of a special activity. We represent Christ everywhere we go, and that comes with the responsibility of sharing what he has done for us with those around us. In the discipleship training course this past spring, we talked about the broken lives of those around us and how our ministry and reconciliation is not just part of our identity, but it also brings change and new creation to those around us too. This is not something that is meant to be kept a secret or hidden from those around us. Think about the other parts of your identity, the things that make up the core of who you are. Are you afraid to share those things with the people around you? Or do you not think twice about it? It's the same with our identity in Christ. It is not meant to be suppressed, but rather to be proclaimed to the world. We cannot separate these two things. You cannot be an ambassador without being made new in Christ, and you cannot be made new in Christ and not be an ambassador and share Christ with others. The second question we need to answer is who? Who do we reach? We're going to use an oikos map as a tool to answer this question. Oikos is the Greek word for household. One of the ways the gospel spreads so rapidly is through relational networks. This appears to be an intentional and strategic method used by both Jesus and the apostles. In John 1, the first thing Andrew did was find his brother Simon and tell him that he had found the Messiah and bring him to Jesus. In the same chapter, Philip is called by Jesus to follow him, and Philip immediately finds his friend Nathanael and tells him about Jesus and invites him to come along. And in Acts 10 and 16, Cornelius and Lydia both come to faith, and their entire households come to believe in Jesus as well. This map is a tool to use to help you answer the question, who are the people in my life that are far from God that I can reach? You'll see in your notes that there is an empty oikos map for you to fill out. First, you start by putting your name in the circle in the middle. Next, you think of five immediate people in your life who you have contact with on a regular basis that are far from God. This could be people who proclaim to be Christian, but their lives say otherwise, or people who have no faith in God at all. Think about the places you find yourself on a regular basis, whether that be classes in the fall, sweet mates, friends, family, coworkers, friends from other clubs on campus. Write them in the second bubbles attached to your name. Finally, you think about who those people who you just wrote down know. You might not know the exact names of who they know. You can use either a blank bubble or write something like sister, mom, or friend. You fill out the last set of bubbles off of the names of the people you wrote down with the possible people that they know. These are the people that they could potentially share the gospel with if they come to know Christ from your conversations with them. And that's your first oikos map. This is not only a tool to use to think and brainstorm who you can be sharing the gospel with, but it's also a tool to use during your prayer time and pray either by name or not for those people and the people that they might come in contact with to know God. We would love to see these oikos maps being prayed over by each and every one of you on a daily basis. In John 17:20, Jesus prays for his disciples, but also those who the disciples reach and will reach one day. This is a habit that we can start to implement in our daily prayers too, with this map as a tool to help do that. We can see from our oikos map that we can map out generations of people who are far from God and pray that they one day have a personal relationship with him and pray that God will ignite a movement with the people in your life. Pause the podcast now and take 2 to 3 minutes to fill in and think about who would be on your oikos map. Try to get as many people on there as possible. Think about the different circles of people you have at home, at Yale, in different clubs, family members, or high school friends. If you want, you can even start to pray for them right now. The third question we are going to answer is what? What do I say in these conversations? We're going to script and practice our 15-second testimony today. When sharing your faith with someone, This 15-second testimony is a tool you can use to help structure your testimonies. It doesn't necessarily have to be 15 seconds in real time, but it's a really good framework to use when outlining how to tell your testimony to someone, whether that be 15 seconds, 3 minutes, or 20 minutes. Your testimony will be broken down into 3 different sections: life before Christ, how you came to Christ or what he did for you, and life after Christ. This helps me personally keep my thoughts and words organized and allows me not to go off on tangents. So first is before Christ. You can use the sentence starter, "There was a time in my life when," and then use one or two words to summarize what you were like before Christ. My example is, "There was a time in my life when I was selfish and hopeless." The second is, "How we came to Jesus." You can use a sentence starter like, "Jesus forgave me and I began to follow him." My example is, "Then Jesus forgave me and I began to follow him and he became king of my life." And third is your life after Christ. You can use the sentence starter "now," and then use one or two words to describe what life is like now in Christ. My example would be, "Now I have purpose in my life and have discovered the joy of serving others." And finally, ask. Ask and invite them into the conversation to share. You can say, "Do you have a story like that?" This allows you to make this more of a conversation and not just a time where you talk at a person, but rather a time for them to respond to your testimony and hopefully open the doors to more discussion about faith in Christ. My entire 15-second testimony would read, "There was a time in my life when I was selfish and hopeless. Then Jesus forgave me. I began to follow him, and he became king of my life. Now I have purpose in my life and have discovered the joy of serving others. Do you have a story like that?" Pause the podcast for 3 minutes to script out your 15-second testimony in your notes or the place of your choosing and practice it by yourself. Try to say it at least 3 to 4 times without looking at the paper. Again, we use this tool as an outline for sharing your testimony. When sharing with others on your Oikos map, think about what life was like before Christ, what he did for you, and life now in Christ. It will frame your testimony nicely and get to the point when sharing with others, as well as opening up the conversation for them to share. The final question we will answer is when. When to begin and when to share this. So, when to begin? I'm a firm believer that if you have a plan, you're more likely to see success in that area. It's hard to really get anything done without a plan. We'll set some actionable goals so you can hold yourself and each other accountable to reaching those on your Oikos map. Take some time in your notes to answer the following questions in order to make an actionable, attainable plan for sharing your faith. The first question is, when are you going to commit to pray each day for the people on your Oikos map? For me, it would be every morning during my devotional time, and I would have the map in my Bible or in my journal. The second question is, when are you going to share your testimony with the people on your Oikos map? Try your best to set a day and a time, or an upcoming situation that you might find yourself in. My example would be my friend Melissa at the dog park on Thursday. And finally, when are you going to practice this with someone else or pass this training on to someone else who can reach people within their Oikos circle too? For example, think of one-on-one situations this upcoming fall with non-leaders in your core group this year. Try to find another leader within Chi Alpha who can be your accountability partner this semester or year for sharing your faith on campus. Reach out to someone before or after the discussion this week and ask them to be your accountability partner in this. Pause the podcast and take the next minute to answer these questions and write the name down of the person you are going to ask to be your accountability partner. Great, I know why, who, what, and when, but I still feel ill-equipped and nervous to have these conversations with people within my circles. Yeah, I totally get that. So let's try to address some of these challenges and doubts that we may face when thinking about evangelism and practicing it in our daily lives. First, let's look at what the unchurched people say. These are the results from a Lifeway study. The study shows that 35% of 2,000 unchurched people have heard the benefits of being a Christian. 79% of people considered to be unchurched said that if a friend of mine really values their faith, I don't mind them talking about it. And finally, 47% of unchurched people said that they would interact freely if the topic of Christian faith came up. You know, sometimes I think that I get in my head and my thoughts tend to be more of, they don't care about faith, or they'll probably think I'm annoying for bringing this up again. But this study actually shows that personal relationship can really play a factor in how open they are to conversations about faith, which is exactly the type of person who our Oikos map is made up of. Compare the 47% of unchurched people that said they would interact freely if the topic of Christian faith came up with the 79% of people considered to be unchurched saying that if a friend really values their faith, they don't mind talking about it. That's a dramatic increase because of a personal relationship. What if you're thinking, I don't feel like I know enough? What if they ask a question that I don't know? It's okay to not have all the answers to every question. People don't expect you to know everything about everything. Every time I have not known an answer to a question, people are always okay with the response, I don't know the answer to that, but I will find out and get back to you. Whether this be in my teaching career, or in sharing my faith, or simply in a conversation about faith, this response was never met with animosity, but rather with understanding. Chi Alpha staff are always a good resource to refer to as well. If there is ever a question you don't know the answer to, and you can't find the answer, just ask us. We can point you in the right direction or help you answer the question. But what if you're thinking, how do I start these conversations? It feels really awkward just to bring up religion. Here are some things that you can do. First, ask them if they know any Christians. If they do, ask them if they know what Christians believe. This will open up the conversation with you listening to them first, and it gives you a chance to explain what you believe or share your testimony in response to what they say. Invite them to TNL or core group and ask them what they thought after. Don't settle for, I liked it. Ask why or why not. Try to keep that conversation going. And finally, it doesn't have to happen the first time you bring it up. These people are in your Oikos map, which means that you have relationships with them. You know them and you spend more than just one time with them. There is trust between you. You might need to give it time, but don't fool yourself into thinking it's going to happen organically. You will most likely never talk about it if you don't bring it up. You may be thinking, how do I explain the gospel or what we believe as Christians? On your notes, there is a link to the Three Circles Gospel presentation. It's a really good way to explain the gospel to somebody who has never heard it before or maybe who has misconceptions. I want you to watch the YouTube video about the Three Circles and to be ready to discuss this during our discussion time later this week. I hope that some of these tools and questions help you realize that evangelism is something that we're all called to do, but it doesn't have to be scary. If it still feels like a daunting task, that's okay. Practicing it more and more will make you a little bit more comfortable with sharing your faith. Even practicing it with another Christian is a really helpful thing you can do. Is it always going to go perfectly? No, but that's okay. We're called to share Christ's love with others. Let's just get to it. We look forward to hearing next week about how to have a dynamic core group. Have a great week.
You've been listening to the Leadership Intensive Podcast. We'll see you next week.